that needs to put up with rubbish, so she just decided to move on. All right, over to wonderful Casey.
Can I just say, on the back of that, the conversation that you guys were just having here and the questions that I could hear coming out, I said yesterday that the only difference between where you are now and the person who's already doing what you want to do is the amount of conversations these people have had with clients. Now, don't get hung up on the how. Don't get hung up on the, I must have this script, this is how it needs to come out. The more natural you are, the more comfortable you are, the easier that person's going to feel with you. And if you bumble up a few times, how many people are in this world? There is always going to be another person who will have you as their spending plan. You know, if you lose one, don't panic. So I just wanted to say that. So, this is the title of my, of a goal workshop that I hold, but I just didn't remember it. Oops. Alright. So, yesterday we talked about commitment and responsibility to ourselves, the language that we speak to ourselves, doing one thing every day, and repeating, and talking about our fear and facing it. We also talked about ditching our stories and our excuses. Today, I want to talk about, I want a little bit of clarity around our dreams and our goals, and where they kind of fit in together, and how you, and I will apologize in advance if I'm going to talk about goals today, and I realize that you've all done a goal session with Jenny, yes? But I'm not going to do SMART goals with you, okay? So I'm hoping that you can take away from this at least something that is different to that, that if it hasn't worked for you up until this point, that maybe what I'm going to show you today will, okay? Because I don't do SMART goals. I do dumb goals. I'm just kidding. So I'm going to talk about where dreams fit in, how you sabotage your goals without even realizing it, what makes successful goals, and how to write successful goals, not SMART. So dreams. Dreams are goals that do not have an action plan. I don't know if you were a child, when you're a child, you think, oh, I dream of being a whatever. And I know that as adults, we still have those dreams. Maybe I might have morphed and changed and are very different to what they were when we were a child, of wanting to be a hairdresser or a fireman or an astronaut or whatever it was. But we all have a dream, and usually it stems around doing greater good for something, whether it's for yourself or for your kids or for your family or something that you really, really desire. So your dream is actually not your goals. And I want to make sure that is really clear. The dreams are the niggling thoughts, the ideas, the visions, the wishes that constantly come back to you over and over and over. And you know, you might get 10 years down the track and go, oh, I just still really wish I could do or be or have whatever it is. Dreams are your emotions. I'm sorry. Dreams are where your emotions are connected, your why, the why you do what you do. And I believe that they are given to you for a reason. They're often our higher purpose in life. Again, doing that good thing for the world, you know, changing the world, or having lots of money so you can do something good with it, or whatever it is that you want to do. But your dream should be your highest desire that you have, or the things that you want most in your life. So this is just a little illustration for you to help you understand. This is one of my dreams, and I just want to break it down so you can, some people are very visual people, others aren't. So my dream, one of my dreams, and I have lots of different dreams, is that I want to be one of the world's biggest interrupters of the child sex trafficking trade, because I don't want to have to rely on the government to help me do things. So my vessel, the way that I'm going to achieve that dream, and that dream is not my goal, that is my dream, my vessel is that I am a motivational, I thought that was this thing, a motivational speaker, a goal success coach, and a life coach. My goals are my map. They are what give me the stepping stones to work towards using my vessel to eventually get me to where it is that I want to be to have my dream. The action that I do every single day is what makes this all work. Does that make sense? Everyone understand that? So, how do we sabotage our goals without even knowing that we're doing it? One of the biggest reasons that people fail on their goals is because the wrong emotion is attached to the goal. And this is a really big one. And I'm going to use the age-old goal of weight loss because I think at any point in anyone's life, we've all wanted to lose X kilos. Because we would just want to look good. We just want to feel a little bit better because basically I just feel fat right now. But there's two problems with this. One is that the emotion here, it's just not big enough. It's not quite connected to the whole of what is going on. You need to actually take a step back and really, really think about, why is it that I want this? Is it really just because I want to look good? I need to just dig a little bit deeper. So let's look at my goal again, my dream, and then convert that into my goal. So my specific goal for my dream is that I will be able to fully fund the organization that manages all the aspects that are involved in, and there's my dream. My emotion behind this is because no child is to be left behind. If I rely on the government to fund me, there will always be a limit. And I don't want that. Because there will always be someone else telling me, no, sorry, that just can't happen. I don't want that. My emotion that is attached to this is so deep that it breaks my heart into a million pieces thinking about children in this position. I picture my children's faces on those children and it just sends me into a rage. It can make me cry on the spot. Because I don't believe any child should ever have to go through that. And my emotion is so deep that it is connected to my goal. And it actually has worth and meaning to me. So let's go back to the weight loss for a second. And you're welcome to write any of this down if you want. I've deliberately put it all up there so that you can see the language that I'm using. So if you want to lose weight just because you want to look good, I bet you'll give up in a very short period of time because it's a lot of hard work and basically you've been comfortable along that journey of getting to that point of wanting to lose weight, so you must be at some point comfortable enough. The emotion's not big enough. What if your emotion was that you wanted to be able to take back the self-respect that was lost and that looking good is actually loving myself? The respect that says, I love myself so much that I'm going to feed this body to live. I'm going to move this body to help it function. I'm going to nourish this body to help and support me mentally. And I will respect my body so that it allows me to live longer. And I will respect my body because I was only given one. These are big emotions. So I just want to say, if you just want to be a spending planner because you want the income, I think you need to dig a little bit deeper. There are so many emotions behind what you guys have. I mean, what you can do with your business is crazy. Because there are so many people that need you. So just broaden that emotion. So, the next biggest reason that people don't hit their goals is, and I'm going to tease you with this one, I'm going to give you those at the end, but because over time, you have failed to reach goals that you didn't even realize that you might have been setting yourself. And you've etched away your subconscious and your self-consciousness, and it's eventually gone. And you don't even realize that you can't hit a goal anymore because your body just can't be bothered. It's kind of like, well, I'm not going to hit that because I didn't hit the last 100 I set myself, so I'm not going to bother. Sorry, I just said that. And eventually, you start saying to yourself, and here's the stories again. I can't, it's too hard, it's too big, it's too expensive, I'm too busy. You know what's going on? It's always something. And eventually, you're a constant no-show. Constantly hit the snooze button more than once, not necessarily on the alarm clock, but on your thoughts of going, yep, I'm going to do that, nope, I'm just going to bother. And you let that little goal slip, and the next little goal slips, and the next little goal slips. Because those excuses that you tell yourself are actually your body's way of protecting you from fear and failure. So yesterday I asked you, who wants their client up here next year? Essentially, this was me saying to you, I believe that you wouldn't be sitting in this room right now if you didn't want to achieve massive change in your life. Mm-hmm. Who here has done, oh sorry, everybody asked, you've all done a goal setting, is that right? Have you all done a goal setting project before? Yeah, cool. So who here right now has hit every goal that they set themselves in the last 12 months? Good girl. We have one. Awesome. Sorry. There was no right or wrong answer.
It depends how many goals you write. So if I was writing 3 a day, every day, morning and night, for like a month, and I couldn't even remember half of them.
So no. They're probably more intentions than goals, then. So we can talk about that.
Yeah.
So I mean, like your big goals. So, you know, it's January.
Yeah.
We're looking at this year. You know, this year I'm going to make X amount of money. This year I'm going to have this many clients. This year I'm going to do whatever. You know? I have hit all of mine that I have set myself in the last 12 months. So before we go on, I want to give you some facts about goals. And some of these are really interesting. You might want to write them down because they're really good to remember, because there is a point to where I'm going with how I do my goals. So goals originated way back in 1935. He was the first known man to ever implement goals. People that have written goals are 50% more likely to achieve than people without written goals. And that all motivational gurus agree that goals should be written down. 92% of New Year's goals fail by January the 15th. Today is the
15th.
Who's on track so far? Who didn't write any? That's
really
Only 3 out of 100 adults actually ever write down their goals. A lot of people verbalize them, and then they verbalize and vanish into thin air. Sharing our goals with a confidant is proven to increase the chances of your success. Setting goals is the first step in turning the invisible into the visible. Sorry, if you're still writing, do you want me to go back? Right. The world, that's supposed to say most, my bad. The world's most successful people agree that what you get by achieving your goal is not nearly as important as what you become in the process. Again, it's walking that 1,000 miles that they have walked but you have not. Specific goals are timed and measurable. A Harvard study suggests that 83% of the US population do not have goals. This was a US website that I got these off, I'm really sorry. The act of writing down a goal is a very powerful motivator. Writing down goals forces us to avoid being vague. Most gurus agree that goals should be carried around with you all the time. There is a proven connection between physically writing goals, you want to guess where this is going, and the rate that they are achieved. Achieving goals builds self-esteem and releases endorphins. So, this is how I write goals. Start backwards. Don't start with tomorrow I want this, and you're going to end up with quite a few different headlines, but I'm talking 10-year goals, 5-year goals, 2-year goals, 1-year goals, 6 months, 2 months, next month, next week, tomorrow. I have a goal for every single one of those. Some of them come down to intentions, they're smaller goals, but they are all put in place and each step on top of each other building to my biggest goal. And you start by working backwards, because otherwise, I'll talk about it in a second, you get paralyzed. You must write it down. There is a physical connection between pen and paper and your brain. Don't type it, don't put it on your phone. You need to write it on a piece of paper. Physically write it out. You need to put a time and a date on it. It needs to be measurable and achievable. There needs to be other people involved, whether you want that or not. And like I said yesterday, start and don't stop. So for anyone who would like to, and I would like to think that you would all like to, please get out the pen and paper for me. Don't necessarily write it down right now. I just want you to think about a particular goal. It might be for this year, it might be for 5 years, it might be for 10 years. And we're going to start at the end, not the present, is always my key. These are the headings that I have. So for the goal that you might pick for today, write down whatever category that's going to fit under for you. And then I want you to
can
write.
Can I suggest they make it for their spending plans?
Yeah, oh, absolutely, yeah, for your spending plans, please, yeah. That would be totally purposeful.
So, sorry, when you say the goal for today, write down what category is that.
Okay, so I'm saying pick a goal today. Think of something that you want to achieve. It might
just for today.
Just as an exercise for today. Because
something that I want to do.
No,
today.
Oh, sorry, not today, not physically. I'm just saying right now, today, we're going to do a goal. Not necessarily for today, it might be for 5 years' time.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, sorry. Bad wording.
So choose one of those categories.
Yeah.
What I mean. Yeah.
Yep. Don't want you, if you've chosen a 10-year goal or a 5-year goal or a really big goal, don't ever get hung up on the how, because that will paralyze you. You will spend your entire time looking at how big that goal is going, oh my goodness, how on earth am I going to get to that? Because that's the whole purpose of working backwards. So if you have a 10-year goal, that 10-year goal needs to be broken down into a 5-year goal. That then gets broken down into a 2-year goal. That then gets broken down into a 1-year goal. That 1-year goal becomes a 6-month goal, becomes a 2-month goal, becomes a 1-month goal. And they will just compile on top of each other, and it essentially is the one goal. But it gets broken down from 10 years. What's my 5-year marker? Because this is how you're going to measure it. This is my 2 years, this is my 1 year, 6 months. Does that make sense? Yeah? So you might have only chosen a goal for next week. That's totally fine. But if you've chosen a 10-year goal, when you leave today and you have more time, take that 10-year goal and break it down and write it out again at your 5-year mark. You know, if you want $1 million in 10 years, what do you want in 5 years? If you want that in 5 years, well, how much do I need to have in 2 years to be on track to meeting that big goal? Yeah? All right. The next thing, which I've already said, oopsies, wrong way, my bad. We're going to write it. Handwrite it. Go and buy a really cheap exercise book that's got lots of pages in it, because essentially it's just there for the subconscious purpose of writing out your goals every single day. Abbreviate them if you need to. Start to, use shorthand if that makes it easier. But there is something really powerful in writing your goals out every day. While I sit and eat breakfast, I write my goals. While I sit and eat breakfast, I journal. I also try and palm off 3 kids. But I journal, I write my goals, and I read my intentions that I wrote the night before. They need to be written in the present. They need to be written now. Not, I would like to have $1 million in 5 years. I have $1 million. You need to use positive language, not I want to stop. It's I am going to, or I already have. So if you want to give up smoking as an example, I will give up smoking. It's too negative. You need to make it positive. It needs to be said as if it's already happened. If you struggle with this, and my 8-year-old struggles with visualizing things. She has a learning disability, but she struggles to visualize things. And if you're struggling to visualize this, close your eyes. Go somewhere private, shut your eyes, put yourself in your own little world, and think about that really big dream and work backwards. So these are my examples for you, just in case that wasn't clear enough. So this is my 5-year category, this is what it would read. This is my example. If I didn't have it under a heading, which is totally fine too, you might have just written down a date, which is going to be the next thing that we're going to do. So, we're going to date it. We're going to time it. If you don't give it a time frame, it will never happen, because time is infinite. It just keeps going. When will you have achieved this goal? Give it a specific date. Come on, button. A date that's marked on the calendar. A date that you have told your accountability person. Jim Carrey's story about goals. Recognize this clip off YouTube? Yep. So in 1985, a broke and very depressed Jim Carrey was sitting on top of Beverly Hills in his beat-up old Toyota. He was looking over Los Angeles and he was daydreaming of his success. And he decided to be able to put himself in that moment. He took out his checkbook and he actually wrote himself a check. And he talks to Oprah about this on Oprah's show. He took out his checkbook and he wrote himself a check for $10 million. It was dated for Thanksgiving, 1995, and he put it in his wallet. And it was something that every time he opened his wallet, that check was staring him in the face. It was a constant reminder to him. And just before Thanksgiving in 1995, he found out he was going to make $10 million on Dumb and Dumber. So Jim Carrey wrote his goal in the present, $10 million. He put a time and a date on it, Thanksgiving 1995. The next thing we need to consider is it achievable? I don't like realistic because sometimes the most unrealistic things have still been achieved. You just need to be, is it achievable? You know, we all have busy lives and we don't want these excuses to constantly come back and to sabotage our goals. So you need to take into account, what does your work schedule look like? You know, how can you really, you know, fit this into your life that's going to keep you accountable, it's going to push you, but it's still going to be achievable. And you need to consider the things that are likely to stop you. The next thing we need to talk about is, how will you measure your goal? You need to be able to, and this is the purpose of going backwards, is you can measure that goal. You know, you can look, this is my 1 week goal, this is where I need to be next week. Okay, this is what my, if it's a money goal, well, this is my actual, you all know what actuals are, you look at your budget. You know, am I on track? Am I getting there? Yes, I am getting there. You can measure it, it's something real, it's something tangible. A really important step that people miss completely when writing goals and setting goals for themselves is, who else is going to be involved? Who will support you? Who will help you? Who will keep you accountable? Who do you need to learn from to help you achieve what you want to achieve that goal? Who needs to be aware of your goal? Who will it affect? And who will be your cheer squad? It's okay to do things on your own, that's fine. But if you know that you're likely to, if it comes down to being embarrassed and having to ask for help or failing, I would pray like crazy that you would always choose to be embarrassed. Because there is no shame, and I've actually jumped ahead of myself now, 2 seconds. If you need a cheer squad, get one. And get an accountability buddy. Get an accountability buddy who is actually going to do their job properly. Someone who is, that you will give permission to hold you accountable to your success. But you aren't going to lose your cool with them if they actually pull you up and say, you told me you were going to, how come you haven't done that? You know, you need to be honest with yourself and let that, give permission to that accountability buddy to hold you accountable to where you want to be and where you want to be at. Because I can guarantee you that you are so much stronger when you have someone beside you walking that path with you. So where I was going a second ago is that there isn't any shame in calling it, only regret in failing it. Don't be ashamed of falling off the bandwagon. If you fall off, just get back on before those damn wheels stop. Because if they stop, like I said yesterday, it is much harder to build momentum. So, secret to success is on the next slide. I talked about it yesterday. It's not hard. You can all have it. Start and don't stop. One thing every single day. I can't say it enough. If you stop, you get lazy. It gets too easy to forget. You must do something every single day. It doesn't matter who you talk to. It doesn't matter what guru you listen to. It doesn't matter. You guys can all give me your name of your favorite podcaster or your favorite millionaire or your favorite YouTuber, whoever it is. I can guarantee you the only difference between you and them is they did something and they didn't stop. And they just kept going. One small step forward every day is a faster road than not stepping for 6 months. So, what makes the difference? Probably heard some of those things before about writing down goals. This is what makes down the difference. This is what makes the difference. I'm going to say it again. Write your goals out on paper every single day. Get a big notebook. keep it beside your bed, write those darn goals out every day, abbreviate them if you have to, don't skip Sunday just because you like to sleep in, write them out before your feet hit the floor. The next thing that you're going to do, on top of writing down those goals, is that you're going to spend 5 to 10 minutes visualizing your goal every day. You're going to picture it, you're going to smell it, you're going to feel it, you're going to taste it. You need to immerse yourself in all of your five senses to be able to trick your brain into believing that you already have it. Because there is actually a subconscious connection between what you want and what you don't have. Your brain doesn't know the difference between a lie and the truth. So you may as well feed it a lie, because it's going to start believing it. The next thing you're going to do is you're going to put your goals on the wall. You're going to put them in your diary, you're going to put them on the fridge, you're going to put them in your car, you're going to put them on your phone as a reminder, and you're going to read them more than once a day. You might write them once a day, but you're going to read them over and over and over. Just like Jim Carrey had that check in his wallet. Every time he opened his wallet, that goal was sticking to him. Oh, $10 million. Oh, $10 million. Oh, $10 million. You need to reaffirm that those goals are there and they will be more likely to come to pass. I was going to delete this slide then. Who believes in the law of attraction? Can you read my good English? The law of attraction. Have you been on a bike and you're about to fall off? Gone. Next minute, you're on the floor, you're eating the dust, you're gone. That is also the law of attraction. Sometimes, if you actually say to yourself, I will not fall off this bike, I can't tell you how many times I've been on a horse that's about to throw me off, and I've had a choice to be able to go, no, you know what? I'm not falling off. It's amazing how many times I don't fall off. So, the next thing that you need to do is you need to celebrate your small successes. Every time you hit a benchmark with your goal, every time you overcome even just the smallest obstacle, you are going to have a chuck. You're going to chuck a party. You're going to reward yourself for that. Because there is a chemical benefit in doing that. It's just like exercising. Who here exercises? Who here enjoys that endorphin release that you get from exercising? How good is that? It becomes addictive, yeah? Same thing happens when you reward yourself. And it happens with bad things. You know, if we drink coffee, you get a caffeine hit. The brain then goes, oh, I need coffee. You know, it's the same thing. You must reward yourself. And this is what I talked about earlier. If you don't hit your little tiny goals, and sometimes you don't even realize that you're not hitting them, it just eats away. Oh, I didn't do that. Oh, I didn't hit that. Oh, I didn't hit that either. I didn't hit that one either. And eventually, you can't hit anything. But if you start to reverse that, start to celebrate the little successes, you know what? Look at that. Today, I said I was going to make 10 phone calls. I made 12. I'm going to whatever. Go and have a hot bath. But make sure you connect that with what you told yourself you were going to do. So by celebrating every small win along the way to reach your goal, it instills self-confidence. It releases endorphins that reward your brain. It builds your subconscious to know that you can achieve goals. It builds resilience within your mind to keep going because it's a reward system. It makes you feel good. You must reward yourself. So, why? Why should you do these extra things that seem stupid and crazy and time-consuming and just one more thing to fit into your little busy schedule that you already have? Because I know you're all busy. Who isn't busy? This is my reason why. Because you're sitting here. Because you chose to invest in yourself, and I said that yesterday, because you chose this vessel to be your ship, a spending planner. Because you have already decided that you're going to win. And you might as well just get going on the way. And you might have gotten lost, you might have been missing a few small pieces. Maybe today I've given you something that you didn't have last time, and that might be the key for you. But if you don't try it, how are you going to know if it's not going to work for you? And because going the extra mile is what you maybe didn't do last time, which I just said, but you're not going to settle for anything less. I want to leave you with a few more of my favorite quotes, because I have quotes all over my wall. They're surrounded by my contracts to myself that we did yesterday, and they're surrounded by my goals. They sit beside my journal, and it's where I eat breakfast. I escape my kids and eat breakfast at my desk. Discipline is the bridge between goals and accomplishment. Just do something every single day. I'm saying it again. It's discipline. Seriously, you just have to do something. There is no secret potion or spell. You are just as human as the successful people. The only thing they did that you haven't might have already done is have the discipline. Whatever your goal is, you will never succeed unless you let go of your fears and fly. Goals are like magnets, law of attraction. They'll attract the things that make them come true. Review your goals twice every day in order to be focused on achieving them. Les Brown. I love Les Brown. Mm-hmm. Anyone else listen to Les Brown? Mm-hmm. My hero. Mm-hmm. A dream written down with a date becomes a goal. A goal broken down into steps becomes a plan. A plan backed by action makes your dreams come true. Thanks for having me here this weekend, guys. I hope that you got something out of that. I hope that you got sick of me telling you, just do something, just do something, just do something, put me on repeat, I don't care. But that is what will make the difference for you, I promise.
Is she awesome or what?
Awesome. You're a little biased.
Oh, no. All right, now, I'm going to make an announcement. There's been a new invention, and it's going to help your teeth to be so amazing. And all you have to do is twice a day use this new invention to scrub your teeth. The new invention is called a toothbrush. And you're going to have to remember to do it morning and night.
That's just it.
Okay, now who here thinks that, yeah, I could remember to do that morning and night? You all do it, don't you? Not one of us in this room even doubts that we can remember to clean our teeth morning and night because it is a
habit.
All that we're being asked to do now is to start a habit. And do you know, how long? 21 days?
Oh, it takes 21 days to establish a new habit. But I actually find if I want to put something new into my goals, whatever, my life, I can start to feel a difference within 7 days. If I don't do it, it's like, ooh, it's not quite right today. What was that? It depends on how disciplined you are and how OCD you are. I'm quite OCD, but it takes 21 days to create a new habit successfully. And honestly, a question I'd like to leave you with is, what is the worst that could happen? Like with these conversations, what's the worst that could happen if you get a conversation wrong? You're going to lose a client, bummer. How many people are in the world?
50, I think, before.
Or Australia? Is it 7 something?
20, well, 24 million.
There are plenty of customers out there. If 90% of them are in debt.
And you know, if you blow it the first time,
exactly.
A year later they're probably going to come back and tell you that they will have another chat with you anyone.
Thanks, guys.
Awesome.
Thanks.
All right, you can see that lunch has been prepared and we're pretty much out of time for the conference. The reason I mentioned a toothbrush is because I know that there are some of you in the room who decided before, yes, I'm going to do this goal thing, and I write my goals every day, and you've fallen by the wayside. I wanted to just demonstrate to you that you already have goals that you have achieved and like things in your life that you do automatically just like what your goal setting should be. You know you can do it because you've done the toothbrushing and you've done the breakfast, dinner and tea and the shower every night. And all of the things that you do by habit prove to you that there's no reason why you can't add one other habit into your life that can make a massive difference. And you all know that if you don't think about what you want, what you're going to get will be whatever the world throws at you. And you need to choose it. All right, now, there are probably questions and things that we would have loved to have done more, but we're out of time. Lunch is going to be, it looks like they're waiting for us. But before you leave, we've got basically allocated an hour for lunch, and I'm kind of wrapping up now, but I don't want you to leave without saying goodbye. But I want every one of you to fill in a sheet which will guide me as to how to make next year's conference better, and find out what we did right and what we didn't do right. So, Kathy, if you could give them out. So, I've got to do this now before I get my lunch sort of thing. But if you want to do it, it's very simple, it's not complicated. I just want to get some feedback from you guys and so that I can do better next year. I'm not sure that we'll be here next year because I'm really not so sure about the air conditioning here. Even today it hasn't been great. Now you may have noticed that we've been recording as much as possible the audio.
It is.
We've recorded the, as much as possible. I think I forgot to press the record button first. That's not the recorder. Press the record button on all these things.